Would you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 24? We'll start reading there here in a little bit. Matthew 24. I was thinking about what's been going on, not just in the world, but also in our country. And as I was doing so, it's really interesting, and I believe the Lord was helping me to remember things that had taken place. And so I have made a list. It's a brief list of what we have seen happen in just the past 9 years. All right? Less than a decade. Just the past 9 years. A businessman with no political experience declared himself a candidate for president. People thought it was a joke or a publicity stunt until he was elected to be the Republican Party's nominee and then was elected president. You never seen anything like that before. Never. Never. I think it's the first time in our history, other than George Washington, where someone was elected, well, actually, really, first time in our history, somebody was elected with no political experience and no military experience. Even George Washington had the military experience. That was just shocking. And people were, they could not believe this had happened. Well, in the last 9 years, we've also seen two different women elected to be the Democrat Party's nominee for president. We've never had a woman nominated for president ever by the Democrat or the Republican Party. And yet, in the last 9 years, we've seen it happen two times. Technically, one of them wasn't elected, one of them was appointed. But the bottom line is this. There were two women who were representing the Democrat Party to be elected as President of the United States. We have seen a sitting president running for re-election and then dropping out less than 4 months before the election. You know, when Lyndon Johnson was president, and he made the declaration, you know, he wasn't going to run again. Well, he did that way before the whole process began. But in this case, we never seen anything like that, ever. Ever. Also, we witnessed the most questionable, divisive, and, according to some, the most corrupt presidential election in our nation's history. Now, you can have your own beliefs as to whether or not the election was rigged. You can believe what you want. The bottom line is this. We've never seen so much controversy over a presidential election. Never. We've never, again, you can believe whatever you want, okay? That's all right. But we've never seen so many people come forth and declare, I was a witness to something that went on that was cheating. We've never seen this, ever. But there it was. We've also seen a man elected as president, then defeated while running for re-election, then running a third consecutive time and being elected. One individual running three consecutive presidential elections. Never seen that. And winning the first time, losing the second time, winning the third time. This is history. Absolute history. Nations around the world were shocked at what happened. People in this nation were shocked that it could happen. But it did. And it wasn't just that he won, but how he won. Incredible. Also, what we've seen in the past 9 years, a president publicly displaying diminished mental capacities unlike anything ever before witnessed. Now, I'm not saying that to be a joke. I'm not saying that to be critical. It's a fact. It was witnessed by millions of people. And it's really sad. In fact, recently, reports have come out from, you know, behind closed doors that this was going on in a major way, and it was buried. It was hidden. Now, you can be Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is, it was going on. And we were seeing it. And people lied to us and told us that it wasn't happening. Well, you know who I feel sorry for? It's Joe Biden. I really do. Because there were people that took advantage of that and they played him. And that's not right. You know, I don't agree with so many of his policies. But the way he was treated, folks, that's wrong. I mean, even if you disagree with him, you know, he's a president. And you need to have more respect for that office. It was wrong. Well, what else have we seen in the past 9 years? Riots. Unlike anything seen since the early 1960s, producing massive devastation and destruction in several cities. These riots were horrible. Here, where we live, we were shielded from all that. And so the magnitude of it, we really couldn't relate to what was happening. But the reality was still there. And when we would see the images on TV, it was almost like we were watching some kind of a movie. And it wasn't really happening. And what's even crazier about that is the fact that there were people who had businesses, people who were, say, Democrats, or people who were in favor of, you know, non-conservative issues, their businesses were destroyed. I couldn't figure this out. You know, I'm with you people out there. Why are you destroying my business? It was absolutely, it was the closest thing to national anarchy that we have ever seen. It was horrible. And in some areas of those cities, they still haven't recovered. You're just not seeing that on the news. They still haven't recovered. There are people that lost everything because of this. And it's not, like I said, it's not been since the early 1960s when we've seen anything like that. But yet, here it was, right in front of us. And here's the part that just makes you sit back and scratch your head. In response to the riots, cities were voting to defund police departments. Now, that just makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, that, you know, you sit back and you think, where is your mind? Where is the logic, liberal or conservative? Where is the logic behind this? And the thing is, you know, defund the police. Oh, yeah, that'll work, right? Until you need the police and they're not there. And that happened. It happened. One thing you need to understand is that, well, in the last 9 years, we have seen mainstream media rise up against conservatism in ways we've never seen before. And I'm talking about, honestly, I've never, ever seen lying from mainstream media the way we have in the last 9 years. Now, media, they've always had people that tell it the way they want to tell it, and so on and so forth. I get that. But what's been going on? It's terrible. When you have newscasters coming on and not just presenting news, but they are editorializing and they are giving their personal commentary on this in a way that this is supposed to be deliver the news, show what's happening. I don't want to hear your opinion. But that's been going on. We've never seen it to this level, ever. But in the last 9 years, we sure have. In the last 9 years, we have seen millions of illegal immigrants, including drug dealers, murderers, rapists, and violent gang members crossing into our nation, and the federal government giving orders to law enforcement to stand down and do nothing to stop the invasion. Now, that doesn't make any sense. The fact, Here's what was going on. It wasn't presented this way. We, the United States of America, was invaded by a, quote, army, most of whom did not have weapons. How else are you going to describe it? They were coming in, and it was a war. You need to open your eyes and see this. It was a war because other nations were letting their people leave their nations to come into the United States. If those other nations cared, they would have put a stop to it. But they don't care. It was an invasion. And now we're seeing the aftermath of that. It's horrible. Law enforcement being told, don't do anything. And then if anybody does get arrested, they release them. They turn them loose again. Okay? We've never seen anything like that ever in our history. But in the last 9 years, that's what has happened. It is horrible. What else have we seen in the last 9 years? Two powerful destructive hurricanes impacting Florida in a manner not previously seen. Now, here's what I mean. Talking to the people that live down there, they said that these two, I forget their names, but these two of these hurricanes that came like back to back, they came through on a path into Florida where hurricanes have never really come through. They said, we've never seen this before. We have hurricanes, but not like this. They've come through in a way that we've never experienced. In the last 9 years, we have witnessed never before seen shocking, absolutely shocking, anti-Israel and anti-Jew sentiment rising up in cities and on college campuses. Anti-Israel and anti-Jew riots on college campuses. Now, folks, we've never seen that before. The truth of the matter is, I never thought it would really get like that in the United States. And what makes it worse is that authorities on the college campuses and legal authorities were doing nothing to stop it. You know, those students, so many of those students had come in to the United States on student visas. You can have your own opinion on this. Those students need to be kicked out of the schools and kicked out of this country. It's not right. It's not right at all. Okay. I'll just say this to whoever it would apply, however many people. You had better watch yourself. Because what the Lord was just now impressing upon me is that there are some in this room watching, however it applies. You have allowed yourself to be too influenced by liberal media and positions, and you don't realize what's happened. And you now are taking positions wondering, well, maybe that's not so bad, or maybe this isn't so bad. You better watch out. You're headed down a bad path. You better guard your heart. What else have we seen over the past 9 years? Increasing persecution against Christians. We've seen Christians arrested for doing nothing more than praying. That's nuts. Since when? Christians arrested for just standing on a street corner and preaching. Well, you can have all kinds of other people standing on street corners and declaring what they believe, and they don't get arrested. But the Christians have been arrested. Our Christians have been put in prison. What else have we seen in the last 9 years? We have seen parades in which men and women were totally or near totally unclothed and sometimes performing acts of immorality and perversions in those parades. Right out there in the open, everybody can watch. And law enforcement did nothing. Nothing. There was a time in this country, not too long ago, if you'd done anything like that, you'd have been arrested. And you would have been put in jail. You would have been convicted. But now, when law enforcement just stands by and let it happen, you know, freedom of expression, no, no, no. You've got people that are twisting the Constitution, just like a lot of Christians twist the Bible to make it say what they want it to say. And they do not they do not align themselves with truth. That's just how it is. What else have we seen in the last 9 years? School athletic teams forced to allow biological males to participate on women's teams. And then those schools being penalized if they try to stop it. That's crazy. You know what I find interesting? Is it's always, it seems like it's always the men, the guys, that want to be on the girls' teams. You don't see too many girls saying, I want to play middle linebacker on the football team. I want to be an offensive lineman. You don't see that too much. In fact, I don't think you see it ever. But you've got guys who want to be on the women's teams. And then women's teams who refuse to compete against the perverted teams. Those teams, they get criticized for that. What's wrong with you? That's prejudice. Don't you understand? No, I do understand. I don't want my little Susie to get hurt. And that's happened. That absolutely has happened. And women who have performed tremendously on the athletic field, whatever the sport would be, they lose to men who are biologically superior. All right? That's not a misogynistic statement. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's pathetic. We've seen in the last 9 years schools and businesses forced to allow men to use women's restrooms and locker rooms. And then if anybody complains, they get in trouble for it. There are women who have had their memberships to local health clubs revoked because they complained that a naked man was running around in the women's locker room. That's ludicrous. It used to be illegal to do that kind of stuff. What else have we seen in the last 9 years? We've seen men and women, but especially, well, let's put it this way. Males and females of all ages deciding that they were no longer male or no longer female and wanted to have operations so that they could become what they are not. And what's even worse is that there are children that are wanting to do this. And government is protecting the right of young children, 5, 6, 7 years old, to go through those kind of surgeries. That is insanity. And there have been cases where the parents have protested against their children going through that, and the children have been taken from the parents. When I say taken, I mean removed from the parents, removed from the home, and in some cases, taken away to another state and hidden in a compound where the parents don't know how to get to them. Folks, you need to understand, there's some weird stuff going on. Bad stuff. What else have we seen in the last 9 years? We have seen the United States become weaker than ever in history from a military perspective. And in response, both Russia and China have become military threats to a level we've never before seen. Now, I know Russia's always been an issue. I get that, all right? But what we're seeing now, between Russia and China, especially with China, we've never seen this. Never. Ever. Never been like this. And I know somebody who is involved with government in one of the intelligence agencies years ago, stood before, I don't know what committee it was, and told them, here's what's happening right now, and here's what's going to happen concerning China. And you need to deal with it now and prepare for it now. And they ignored him. Now here we are. What else have we seen in the last 9 years? Israel being invaded and attacked at a level not seen in decades. Decades and decades. And then being blamed for the attacks. Can you believe that? Here you are, you're at home, and you're watching TV. All right? Football or Hallmark or whatever you like. If somebody breaks into your home and you defend yourself, but then you get arrested for not liking the fact they broke into your home, you get blamed for them breaking into your home. Now, does that make any sense? No, but that is exactly what has been going on. It's been amazing how that the United Nations actually stood up against Israel. I'm thinking, well, you people are dumb. Really dumb. You don't mess with Israel. Haven't you figured out that anybody that messes with Israel ends up in trouble? You know, I was reading an article here not too long ago how that, in essence, here's what it was saying. All these different groups have been attacking Israel. That Israel has just been toying with them in that they're making these precision strikes into their regions, and these other groups in the countries, they can't stop it. They can't prevent it. They can't do anything about it. In fact, in some instances, Israel has openly flown their jets into some of these regions, bombed stuff, turned around and flown home, and the other nations couldn't do anything. They couldn't prevent it. It's almost like Israel was going, no, really, Israel has held back on response. The way I look at it, they're giving people a chance to straighten up. And if you put, look, you can only poke the bear in the eye so long, and it's going to happen. Israel has never lost. Now, I know you go through the Bible and you read, well, they lost it. I get that. But you know what I'm talking about. You don't mess with them. They give up so much, more than what they should. God in the Bible defined their borders. And in their effort to keep peace, they've yielded sections of their country over that belong to them. They're trying to keep peace, trying to keep peace. You can't make peace with Satan and his emissaries. It's impossible. What else have we seen in the last 9 years? Churches and pastors embracing, accepting, supporting, and endorsing perversions and the murder of unborn children. I've been shocked at some of the churches that have been on this path. There have even been, I think I read about it, 2 Southern Baptist churches that have gone that direction. Now that shocked me, because if ever there's been a conservative denomination, Southern Baptist, well, when that happens, the denomination disfellowships those churches. But, my goodness, churches and pastors that stand up and endorse this, and the politicians that support it. Do you not know, you know, it's like Jesus told the Apostle Paul, kind of hard to kick against the pricks. Do you not know? You're kicking against the pricks? Do you not know that the mercy of God is withholding judgment to give you a chance to repent and make it right? And pastors that stand up and endorse all of this, the congregations ought to kick them out the door. But they don't. And in some cases, some of these churches have grown. It's crazy. See, what's happening is God is bringing to light what He's been seeing in the hearts of people, of Christians. And the division between light and darkness in the church is being exposed more than ever. God said it was going to be like that. What else, kind of along with that, have we seen? An entire denomination splitting over God's ban on perversions. It's nuts. Here you have a denomination that started out being, you must be born again, get filled with the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, sign wonders, miracles. How it started out. Got to the point to where, well, we're going to ordain. It isn't just a matter of we're going to ordain women. We're going to ordain women who like women and men who like men. And it's going to be okay if they want to perform those kind of ceremonies in their church, and on it goes. thankfully, enough of those churches in that denomination said, that ain't happening. And they split off. When we were in Florida ministering last year, we drove past a church, pretty good sized church, and the building was white, but you could see up at the top of it where letters had been removed, and we were told that used to be a United Methodist church. But when all this stuff came out, they said, nope, no more, and they took all the lettering down. There was in one of the services down at Pastor Bronx Church, there was a visiting pastor and one of his leaders in the service. And Pastor Bronk identified him. This is Pastor so-and-so of the, you know, something, whatever, United Methodist Church. The pastor said, no, we're not. No, we're not. We're not United Methodist anymore. We left. We left that denomination. That's absolutely nuts. And you know what? The people that are doing this, they honestly think what they're doing is right before God. Because if you don't think what you're doing is right before God, why in the world would you do it? These are things, like I said, it's a short list. These are things that have been going on in just the last 9 years, in less than a decade. What do you think is coming? And some people would say, well, it's going to get better because we have a new president coming in. And he ain't going to put up with this stuff. I've got news for you. The new president may help, but that new president is only going to be there for 4 years. Oh, okay, by the way, I'm not prophesying. But what I'm going to tell you is this. Do not be surprised if at some point in time in the future, you do not see Elon Musk running for president. If Donald Trump can do it, and he's already been appointed to an office, he's getting his experience. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but with everything that's been going on over the last several years, why should we be surprised? In fact, Donald Trump recently came out and he suggested, you know, Canada's been having a whole lot of trouble with Trudeau. He's extremely liberal up there, the prime minister. And Donald Trump came out. There's a lot of protests going on up there that, you know, Trudeau, he needs to resign. He needs to step down. Well, Donald Trump came out and he said they ought to name Wayne Gretzky to be there. Did you see that? To be their prime minister. Hey, we laugh at that, but who knows? I mean, at this time, hey, Arnold Schwarzenegger became the governor of California. Ronald Reagan became the president of the United States. So, you know what? Don't discount anything. But we've seen all this happen in the last 9 years. And for me, I really hadn't thought about it this way until all these events began, you know, the Lord bringing back to my memory. It's like, man, in 9 years, all this stuff has happened. This is incredible. Now look here in Matthew 24. And as verse 3, as he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Deception, guys, listen, we've shared this so many times. This deception is rising up in a massive way in the church, let alone in the world. And he says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I am sent of Christ, or I am representing Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Do you understand? Verse 9 has begun. It's happening, not just in other, you know, Muslim nations, in the United States. This stuff's going on. It's begun. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Now jump over to verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now pause right there for a moment. Let me read to you from Luke 21, verses 25 through 26. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now I'm going to read those two verses to you from the Amplified. And there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars and upon the earth. There will be distress, trouble, and anguish of nations in bewilderment and perplexity, without resources, left wanting, embarrassed, in doubt, not knowing which way to turn, at the roaring of the tossing of the sea, men swooning away or expiring with fear and dread and apprehension and expectation of the things that are coming on the world, for the very powers of the heavens will be shaken and caused to totter. And now back here in Matthew 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, here it is, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Be ye also ready. You know, he said in verse 13, he that endures unto the end. The only way that you can endure to the end is right here in verse 44. Be ye also ready. So the question is, are you making preparations for what's coming? Are you making yourself ready? Now, I know you hear a lot of people talking in the natural about, well, there's going to be great financial crisis, so on and so forth. You better prepare. You better have money in reserves. Some will tell you, you need to buy up as much gold as you possibly can. Need to do this. Need to do that. Okay, I understand where they're coming from. You need to stockpile food. How many times have we heard that over the years? But that's not what it's about. We're talking about being spiritually ready to endure through no matter what. That's what Jesus is talking about. Be ye also ready. And when he was talking about Noah, as it was in the days of Noah, basically what he's describing is, people were just going about life, ignoring what was right before them. Well, what was right before them? Noah was building an ark. And it took roughly one century for that ark to be built. So for approximately 100 years, people had right in front of them a sign of what was coming. But they went about life as normal. And they probably thought Noah was crazy. Let's go visit the old man. Where are we going on vacation this year, Daddy? Well, we're going down to see what this crazy old dude is doing. Building a boat. What's a boat, Daddy? Yeah, you'll see when we get there. Why is he doing that, Daddy? He says the earth's going to be destroyed by a flood. What's a flood, Daddy? You know, you kids ask too many questions. Just get in the chariot. Let's go. Right in front of them. And when Noah would tell the people why this was going to happen, they could look around them and they could see it's happening. You know, the evil and the violence. They could see it. And Noah was saying, look, God is getting ready to judge. Right? The judgment is coming. Well, they just went on about their lives, didn't pay any attention. In the body of Christ, the same type of thing is happening. People are going about their lives. Now, I'm not talking about the Christians that just, they have crossed over to the dark side, all right? I'm talking about Christians. They haven't turned their back on Jesus. But they're just going about life, the day-to-day life that they've been living. And they're not really paying attention to what is happening right before our eyes. Just like I read, the past 9 years, we have seen more, and I'll use this word, we've seen more calamity in 9 years than what we've seen really in any other 9 year period in our history. World War I didn't last 9 years. World War II didn't last 9 years. You follow what I'm getting at? The things that God, Jesus, right here in Scripture, the warnings that have been given to us are happening right before our eyes. Right now. And Jesus is asking, well, he's giving an instruction, be ye also ready. Now, this isn't simply a matter of, whew, boy, praise God, I'm born again, I'm ready. No. He's talking about be spiritually strong to endure the emotional onslaught that is coming as a result of all the stuff. There are too many people out there now who they're all worked up. Did you know that there are people right now who are still in emotional upheaval over the most recent presidential election? Yeah. That's weird. Now, I hope it's no Christians are like that, but I wouldn't be surprised. Wouldn't be one bit surprised. See, we think that because, now I know this may not apply to everybody, I get that. But there's a thought, a process, to where if it hasn't directly impacted me, then I'm okay. I can handle it. Well, how do you know what is or is not going to impact you? And see, Jesus has given these warnings. We think, wars and rumors of wars. Well, that's the Middle East, and you know, that's Europe. That's Far East. But, you know, hey, not here. You know what I think? I think those riots that we saw just a few years ago may be a premonition or a foreshadowing, rather, of more to come. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But along with that, with all these, okay, here are some of the warnings that have come out. And I'll just put it in my words. All these millions of illegal immigrants that have come in, it has been proven now, that some of them are members of terrorist groups. And there's a development of cell groups throughout the United States being armed and just waiting for the word go to begin attacking in various cities. What is that city up in Detroit? I mean, in Michigan? Dearborn, Michigan. How many of you know what's going on in Dearborn, Michigan? Dearborn, Michigan has become a Muslim stronghold. And they even have defied local police and created their own police in their own police cars driving through the city to make sure everything's okay. And the official police are doing nothing about it. Nothing. And to get away with it, they're saying, well, this is just like a neighborhood watch group. No, it's not. In areas of that city, if you're a woman, smartest thing for you to do is wear one of those hijabs or whatever it's called, the face covering. Yeah, it'd be wise for you to do that, because if you don't, you could be attacked, raped, and killed. That's what's going on there now. You don't read about that now, do you? But that is what's going on. I'm not making this up. Now, if it could happen there, what makes you think it can't happen somewhere else? We've already seen reports of a violent Venezuelan gang that took over an entire apartment building. Folks, the stuff that God has revealed in His Word, the prophecies, they are coming to pass now. And Jesus says, be ye ready. Be ye ready. See, even if it doesn't impact my house or this city, the fact remains, it's happening. And when you start hearing these reports, when he talks about, you know, men's hearts failing them and so forth, okay, as Christians, we had better be living by the mind of Christ and the peace that passes all understanding, because if we don't, there are some, you know, everybody's different, right? Some people tend to get more emotional than others. I understand that. But some people, when stuff begins to happen, man, it's almost like they lose all sense of rationale in their thinking. And that leads to all kinds of weird decisions and actions and so forth. And we sit back and we would think, well, no, that won't be me. You know, I'm good. I'm strong in this. You know what? Maybe you are. But you need to understand there's the possibility that we aren't. We may not be as strong as what we think. In other words, are we thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought? This is why Jesus is giving this instruction, be ye also ready. Not simply for His return, but to endure to the end. You say, well, you're telling us that we're going to be tortured and all kinds of bad stuff because we're Christians? I'm not saying that's going to happen. Some people say that is going to happen. I'm not telling you it's going to happen. I mean, okay, it could, but I'm not telling you that. Do you know what? Some people could handle the physical torture more than the emotional bombardment of circumstances. Go ahead, beat me, stab me, torture me. I'll never turn my back on Jesus. But then, when all the stuff begins happening, oh no, what are we going to do? Remember the panic when we were going from 1999 to 2000? Remember that? Okay. What's coming is going to be worse than that. A lot worse than that. Now, Jesus says, are you ready? The question is, are you making preparations? In other words, spiritually, are you making preparations? Listen to Psalm 107:7. And He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Isaiah 4, verse 6. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from the rain. Now, I don't know to whom this would apply, and I'm not going to cast stones. All I'm going to say is this. People watching, I mean, to whomever this applies, you better start taking your church attendance seriously. This is not just a bunch of pastor rhetoric. Because for some people, their emotional state is going to be the only place they feel safe is in the house of God. The only place they feel stability is in the house of God. The only time they feel comfort is when they are surrounded with like-hearted believers. This place is a city of habitation, and it is a tabernacle of refuge. And you cannot afford, I mean, from this time on, you cannot afford to take your church attendance lightly. You can't decide that, well, you know, I got a bit of a hangnail on my little toe. I think I'm just going to stay home, you know. Well, it's a little chilly outside. And well, it's a little hot outside. If you've never listened to the song Excuses by the Kingsmen, you need to listen to that. Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. The devil, he'll supply them if from church you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep those folks away from church, he offers them excuses. And then it goes through with all these different, it's really a cute song, but there's a strong message behind it. Now I understand there are times, justifiably, when people can't be there, can't be in church. I understand that. But you know, you can't keep making chintzy excuses for being away from here. Because the closer we get to the fulfillment of everything we've seen in Scripture, you're going to need this. You're going to need this like you've never needed it before. And you need to develop the habit, because in the New Testament, don't have these verses written down, but to paraphrase, you know, the Apostle Paul said, one of the things that we need to do is to encourage and exhort and admonish each other. Strengthen each other. Why? Because of what is coming. And because we need this as a family. It is that serious. And if God prophetically has declared that He will lead us to a city of habitation and that He's prepared a tabernacle for a shadow, a place of protection and refuge, you know what? We need to take it seriously. I would be doing this. If I weren't the pastor, I'd still be showing up. Before I ever preached my first sermon, I wanted to be at church every time the doors opened. I just wanted to. I wanted to be there. That's where I found all of my fellowship. That's where I found all my support. Yeah, I had friends outside the body of Christ. Still do. But here, with my brothers and sisters in Christ, this is where I find the support. And I know everybody's got different personalities, and let's just be honest. Some people you like more than others. All right? Now, I know you don't feel like that with me. All right? I get that. Pastor Jim, we like you. You're the best. Amen. I stand in agreement with that one. Yeah. Even if we like some people better than others, we can still walk in love and in like. We can still walk in fellowship. We can. We need this. Look over in Psalm 91. It's not just about being here at church. You know, there are people out there in the body of Christ who are battling vision issues. And they're not comfortable driving at night. I mean, my mom was like that. She had, night blindness or something like that, where you don't see as well at night. And so it's a real challenge for them to get out and go anywhere. Well, you know what? I get that. Just keep believing God for your healing. But I understand. Excuse me. But look here in Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Lord most, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Now listen, verse 1 through 13 is about us and the position we take. Beginning in verse 14, this is God's response to what we've chosen, the first 13 verses. God says, because you have set your love upon me, therefore will I deliver you, I will set you on high, because you've known my name. You shall call upon me, and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. And you know, we want to talk about Psalm 91. Yes, amen. And if you preach that just right in some churches, man, the people are going to shout, scream, yell, holler, run the pews, run the aisles, shimmy, shake, and everything else. However, verses 2 through 16 are totally dependent on verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you don't do verse 1, then you can say verse 2 all you want. But it is a hopeful declaration, not a declaration of life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if you skip verse 1, you're missing out on everything else. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I have to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. What's the secret place of the Most High? Well, for us, let me just use some terminology. It's the prayer closet. It's the worship bedroom. Do you understand what I mean? In other words, it is us making a decision to seek the Lord with all our heart, to press into Him. This is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. It's getting in the car, and instead of turning up the country music or the rap music or the rock music, it's creating a dwelling place for the Lord in the car by playing the Word of God, praise and worship music, or just turning the radio off and talking to the Lord while you drive. Follow me? See, we're too easy to dismiss doing a lot of other things and thinking that it doesn't have an impact. Now, am I saying you can never listen to this and never listen? I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, God tells us, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, you're going to have the rest of Psalm 91. Our cars can be the secret place. Our homes can be the secret place. But it's up to us to do this. Now, this is a part of being ready and prepared for what is coming so that we can endure to the end. The one thing we don't want to do is get into a place. Think of it like this. There was a play I saw once where in the middle of a church service, it was interrupted by like the army coming in. It was as though it was happening in the United States. You know, this meeting is illegal. You know, you can't have church and so on and so forth and blah, blah, blah. And then they had certain people that were a part of the play. They had them stand up and, will you deny Jesus? Now, I'm simplifying it and I don't remember the exact words, you know, but will you deny Jesus? And because if you don't, we're going to kill you. Well, somebody would say, yes, yes, I mean, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And whatever it was they said. Then they go to the next person. Then they go to another person. You deny Jesus? No, I will not deny Jesus. And just, are you sure? I will not. Are you sure? I will not deny. And then they would have that person dragged off and taken through a door off to the side of the sanctuary. And it wasn't long, you heard this bam, like a gunshot. And the idea was, they've just killed that person. Okay, we like to think that we're so strong we can endure. But, are we ready for whatever? Whatever it would be, I'm not saying somebody's going to come along and threaten to kill you if you don't deny Jesus. But the point is, it doesn't matter what does or does not happen. Jesus is saying, be ready. Be ready. Are we making preparation? We cannot assume that everything's going to be okay and I'm strong enough to make it through. And hopefully we all are. Hopefully all of you watching, you are as well. However, it's wrong to assume I'm not going to cave in no matter what. I will not end up emotionally distraught no matter what. Some of the people in this room and watching, you've already gone through a lot of challenges. You've had family members that essentially have just shaken their fist in the face of God. And you've gone through times, maybe had thoughts flash through your mind, God, where are you? God, why aren't you? So on and so forth. But you're still standing strong. What else is coming? I don't know. But I'm telling you this, we have prophecies in Scripture. Things are going to get bad. How bad will they get for us here? We don't know. But we've got to be prepared. We have to, like Jesus said, be ready. Be ready. And so that question remains, are you making preparation? I'm encouraging you tonight, folks. Again, considering everything that's happened in the past 9 years, what is going to happen over the next 9 years? I don't know, but I know this. We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might and do all things through Christ which strengthens us no matter what comes along. And then when the trumpet sounds and He comes back, we're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant.